The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 47, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 7th, 2011, in Auckland, New Zealand.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, Text Number 47. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rupe ime sat asati tava veda shrishte vija ankaro eva na cha anyat arupakashya yukta samaksham Ubayatra Vachakshante Tvam Yogena Bhanim Eva Darushu Na Anyata Syat Rupe Ime Sadasati Tava Veda Shrishte Bijankara viva na chanja da rupa kashya. Yukta samaksham ubayatra vichangshate tvang. Yogena vada mirda rushunan yatasyat. Rupe ime sadasati tava veda shrishte. Bijankara viva na chanya da rupa kashya. Yukta samaksham ubayatra vichangshate tvang. Yogena vada mivirdaru shudanyata syat. Rupe, in the forms, ime, these two, sat asati, the cause and the effect, tava, your, Veda Shrishte, explained in the Vedas. Bija Ankaro, the seed and the sprout. Eva, like. Na, never. Cha, also. Anyat, any other. Arupakashya, of you who possess no material form. Yukta, those engaged in your devotional service. Samaksham, before the very eyes. Ubayatra, in both ways, spiritually and materially. Vichakshante, can actually see. Tvam, you. Yogena, simply by the method of devotional service. Vanim, fire. Eva, like. Darushu, in wood. Na, not. Anyata, from any other means. Siat. It is possible. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and the effect. Purport. As described in previous verses, many so-called students of spiritual understanding follow the 10 different methods known as Maunavrat, Shruta Tapa, Jhayana Svadharma, Vyakya Raho, Japa, Samadhyaha. These may be very attractive, but by following such methods, one cannot actually understand the real cause and effect and the original cause of everything, Janma Joshe Jataha. The original source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Sarva Karana Karanam. This original source of everything is Krishna, the Supreme Ruler, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha. He has His eternal spiritual form. Indeed, He is the root of everything. Bijang mang sarvabhutanam. Whatever manifestations exist, their cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This cannot be understood by so-called silence or by any other hodgepodge method. The Supreme Cause can be understood only by devotional service, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.14.21, the Supreme Godhead personally says, Bhaktya Aham Ekaya Grahya. One can understand the original cause of all causes, the Supreme Person, only by devotional service, not by show bottle exhibitionism. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Dalakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, Prabhupada uses very strong words for these other methods. He calls them hodgepodge, and he calls them show bottle exhibitionism. These other methods are very celebrated. They think, oh, he's a very advanced spiritualist because he doesn't speak. He remains silent. Just see how advanced he is in spiritual realization. Prabhupada said, a fool doesn't reveal himself until he opens his mouth. So, they have a very good reason to be silent. Because if they speak something, then you'll see what a fool and rascal they actually are. So, Prabhupada is not giving much credit to these other methods. Because Krishna also does not give credit. Krishna is saying in 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 54, my dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. God reserves the right not to reveal himself to any Tom, Dick, or Harry who comes in from this material energy to try to gain access to him. He reveals himself only to his devotees. It is not difficult to realize God if one simply becomes a devotee. But if one wants to follow one of these other show bottle or hodgepodge methods, you'll find it very, very difficult to realize God. You can go on for hundreds and thousands of lifetimes and still will not realize God. But simply if one with sincerity takes up this pathway of Krishna bhakti, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, then easily you can realize God. Realizing God means we become free of all anxieties. This is described in the Nectar of Devotion. Pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. In this material world, there's so much anxiety about this thing. Money, health, so many problems, you see. Terrorism, global warming, so many problems, you see. So many anxieties are there in this material existence. This material existence is an endless stream of anxieties. Threefold miseries, fourfold miseries, the seven whips. It's a never-ending deluge of devastations, one after another, after another, after another. When things are a little better, when we think, oh, now I am enjoying. Just like in the olden times, they had a type of punishment known as dunking stool. You know of that dunking stool? They would take the criminal, they would put him on this stool and they would dunk it down. They'd have a rod. It was a big stick, you know, with like this. They'd put him on this stool. They'd put the fellow here and they would dip it down into the water and hold him down there until he's almost drowned. He's almost drowned. And then they pick him up again. For a second, he gets a little breath of air. And then back down again. And they hold him down there until he's almost dead again. You see. So when he's coming up, he's thinking, oh, this is so wonderful. Now I'm enjoying. You see. So this material happiness is simply the upswing of the dunking stool. That's all. We think it's enjoyment, but actually there's no enjoyment here. It's simply a miserable place. This man, just imagine a man dying of thirst in the desert. He's hankering, water. He's hankering, when will I get water? So if you come to him, my dear sir, I have come to bring you water. Now stick out your tongue and you put one drop of water from an eyedropper, ting, on his tongue. You see, oh, water. That's the enjoyment of this material life. It's that little drop of water in the desert. Does that give satisfaction? No. Does it feel good? Yes. Does it make you even more frustrated? Yes. So whatever enjoyment we may think we are getting here, it is simply frustrating because we want unlimited happiness. Brahmasaukyam tvanantam. We are hankering to be in an ocean of unlimited happiness. So a little tiny drop of so-called happiness, we may think it's very good, but it's simply, we want more and more, but we can't have it. What is the use of that drop of water, you see? It has no value. It's simply agitation. The intelligent person, he goes for that oasis in the desert. He finds that place where there is actual water. That is in bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness. These other methods, they are mirage. If one goes after the mirage in the desert, then he is finished. You'll be dead man very quickly. But if one goes for the actual oasis, if he knows the way to the oasis, then he is on the safe side. So how does one find the oasis in the desert? If one doesn't know one's way, one is lost in the desert. And how you will find the oasis? You have to find somebody who knows the way to the oasis. Then he will lead you there. That is the spiritual master. The spiritual master will lead you to the oasis. But we have to have faith. Can I trust this person? Is he trying to cheat me? Or is this person a genuine well-wisher? We have to trust him. If we're skeptical, well, I don't know, I think maybe he's just trying to exploit me. He wants to rob me. If we don't trust, then we won't follow him and we'll remain. But what choice do we have? Better we take the gamble. Even if one thinks it is gamble, I don't know if I should trust this person or not. Well, what's the alternative? We're in the desert, dying of thirst. One person comes and says, I'll show you the oasis. What do you have to lose by trusting him? You're going to die anyway in the desert. Why not take the chance and follow his directions, you see? If we don't follow the spiritual master's directions, it is sure and certain we are lost. We are hopeless position. It's sure and certain, guaranteed. We're in a hopeless position. Karma chakra. And if we do follow the spiritual master's instructions, then we are blessed. We come to the point of pure bhakti, where we can see Krishna face to face. I remember when I was new devotee, I was being trained under the guidance of a very nice devotee, Vishnu Janaswami Maharaj. Perhaps you have heard of Vishnu Janaswami. He's very, very special devotee. And he said that there were so many lifetimes you have served wife and children. And where has it gotten you? He said, for one lifetime, simply try serving Guru and Krishna and see what is the result. And that made a lot of sense to me. I've been serving my senses for so many millions of lifetimes, and where has it gotten me? Another rotting material body, that's all. That's where it's gotten me. Why not make an experiment, since I've tried everything else? I've tried all the 8,400,000 different varieties of enjoyment in this material world. I've tried being an aquatic, I've tried being a bush, I've tried being a tree, I tried being a worm, I tried being a reptile, I tried being a bird, I tried being a giraffe, an alligator, I've tried everything else, a demigod, Indra, an Indra Gopa germ, I've tried everything else to try to squeeze enjoyment out of this material existence, and still I found that it was no enjoyment there. So since I've tried everything else through millions and millions of lifetimes, why not try at least for one lifetime giving myself completely in the service of Guru and Krishna? Let me just make the experiment. I tried enjoying my senses for millions of lives. Let me try one lifetime that I give up sense enjoyment and I just take the interest of only serving Guru and Krishna, nothing else, you see. Pure bhakti. Just make the experiment. Why not make the experiment? I've tried everything else. Why not try this and see what the result is? I was thinking, well, if I'm not satisfied with it, Krishna will let me take birth again. If I'm not happy by serving Guru and Krishna, no problem. I can come back and be a karmi again. You see? No problem. Taking birth as a karmi, that's easy to achieve. You can automatically get birth again in the material world without any endeavor. All you have to do is be lusty, angry, greedy, maddened, illusioned, and envious. That's pretty easy to pull off. I could easily do that and take birth again. You see? But why not just try something different? I've tried everything else. Why not for one lifetime out of millions and millions of births make this experiment of just being a pure devotee and just see what the result is? And they say that you'll see Krishna. Well, maybe, maybe not. I was thinking, but let's try it. Why not? What do I have to lose? I've tried everything else. Why not try this? So the fact is, if one will actually follow the instructions given in the authorized scriptures, if one will actually follow that pathway chalked out by the great acharyas, if one will actually follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, the fact is one will become qualified to see God face to face and have direct, personal, loving relationship with Him. God is not impersonal. God is not the impersonal Brahman. God is not the void. God is a person. A person is full of love, who has unlimited love. He's all beautiful. He's all powerful. He's all renowned. He's all wealthy. He's all famous. He's all knowing. He has everything. All opulences that you could ever imagine and millions and billions of times beyond what you could ever begin to imagine, an infinitesimal fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. He has it. And you can have access to a relationship with that supreme superstar. You see, in this world, everybody thinks, oh, I met, you know, if I could meet some superstar, it would be really great. I met, you know, I was on the airplane and I met Paul McCartney on the airplane. I sat by him on the airplane or something. Everybody would tell their friends, well, I met Paul McCartney or I, you know, on the airplane or something. You know, if you can meet a superstar, it's considered, wow, I met a superstar today, you know. So why not meet the supreme superstar? The superstar of all superstars. Why not have an access to that supreme person, you see? That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness gives you access to that person who's the root of everything. Everything exists simply by dint of his desiring to exist. All these trees, all these pastures here, the sky, the whole country of New Zealand, the Pacific Ocean, this whole planet, the whole universe, it's all simply a little teeny fraction of a fraction of a fraction of his unlimited manifestations. And you can have direct personal access to that person. where you can have a direct, intimate, loving relationship with Him, be engaged in loving relationship, loving wrestling with Him at every minute in ever increasingly sweeter mellows of devotional feelings. Exchanging love with Him at every minute. So Krishna consciousness is the pathway how you can gain that intimate, loving relationship with God, Krishna, at every minute. Feeling His presence, seeing Him, hearing Him, touching Him, everything. Full access to the Supreme Lord. But one has to have faith in this process. That's a fact. One has to have some faith. So how we get that faith? For us it was easy. We saw Prabhupada. We saw a person who was completely immersed in Krishna consciousness. Completely absorbed in Krishna bhakti. And we can see this is an amazing person. Actually, I didn't meet Prabhupada in the beginning. Just seeing Vishnu Jana Maharaj convinced me. I was amazed at this person, Vishnu Jana Swami. Just amazed by him. He was such a great transcendentalist. He was so tasting so much nectar and just emanating so much nectar. Just to be in his presence was like being at a big ecstatic festival. He was a walking, talking festival. Just being around him, you're at a festival immediately. So when I could see his qualities, his characteristics, this by becoming a disciple of Prabhupada, he's become like this. This is an amazing. Who is this Prabhupada? That he can produce such people as Vishnu Jana Swami, who are full of wisdom, full of love, full of nectar, full of ecstasy. It was amazing to see him. So, in this way, I gained some faith in this process. By seeing a person who was immersed in Krishna consciousness, I gained faith that, yes, this process works, I will try it. And when I tried this process, I could feel the difference. I could taste the difference. Vishayavini varatante nirahara shidehina. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing what? A higher taste. He is fixed in consciousness. So the fact is, if you will take this pathway with all seriousness, you will get that taste. You will relish a nectar which is not available anywhere, from the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest planet. You will taste a nectar that is so sublime that all the wealth of this material world put together into one cashier's check could not purchase it. Is it? If you become the ultimate winner. If you can awaken Krishna consciousness within your heart, you're the ultimate winner. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. You also become supreme enjoyer. Actually, it is stated by the acharyas that the devotee, he enjoys more than God. Even though Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the devotee, he enjoys more than God. You can exceed God. You can enjoy more than God is enjoying. You may say, come on, Sankarsana Prabhu, how you can say that? But no, there is proof. Why does Krishna become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Krishna is seeing my devotee, Srimati Radharani. She is enjoying more than me. What is this? I'm the supreme enjoyer. This girl is exceeding me in enjoyment. I want to taste that enjoyment of Srimati Radharani. So to taste that mellow, that bhakti ras, Krishna becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he can taste that sweet, sweet mellow, Krishna bhakti rasa. So that is the proof. Even God Himself feels He is lacking in some happiness when He sees the happiness existing in Srimati Radharani, and He becomes Gauranga in order to relish that mellow, bhakti rasa mellow. So if you want to actually enjoy, if you want to be unlimitedly happy, then take to this Krishna consciousness process with full seriousness, with full determination, with patience, with enthusiasm, strictly following the pathway of the acharyas. Do not try to concoct your own method, mixing it with one of these hodgepodge exhibitionist programs. Take it as it is, purely as the acharyas are giving. Don't mix it with sense gratification. I guarantee you, if you mix it with sense gratification, you're putting poison in. You're simply adding poison to the pot of nectar. Don't add any sense gratification to this process. Take it in its original, pure, pristine form, and you're going to be relishing the sweetest nectar at every minute. From the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you take rest at night, you're going to be swimming in an unlimited ocean of transcendental nectar. I guarantee it. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yes, Prabhu? Just speak up, I'm deaf. I couldn't understand a word.
How is it possible for, say, a grihastha who is sometimes working and there's maybe elements of sense gratification?
How is it possible for grihastha to, who's always engaged in going out?
You're being drowned out by a baby. How is it possible for a grihastha
to become a pure devotee?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You just have to follow the pathway of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You have to study his consciousness, and you have to put yourself in that same consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I am working not to maintain my household, but I'm working to maintain Krishna's household. So a householder, he can work, earn his own money to support his household life. But if he follows the Bhaktivinoda Thakur marg of seeing that household as Krishna's property, not as his own property. This is Krishna's. My wife belongs to Krishna. My children belong to Krishna. My bank account belongs to Krishna. Every square inch of my home belongs to Krishna. So everything should be used in his service. If you take that mood, then you'll be in Vaikuntha. You see, your household will not be a dark well, Grihamedi. It will be Grihastha Ashram. When you come back from work, you feel like you're entering the spiritual world when you come back to your house. You see, that's how it should be. You have to create an atmosphere in your home where the family members rise early, they chant the glories of the Lord. It's a place for Krishna Katha. It's a place for bhakti. It's a place for service, where no one eats anything in the house unless it's offered first. Even the kids are trained. They say, Mommy, but is it offered first? They don't want to eat anything. They want to make sure everyone's trained up, that everything has to be offered to Krishna. There's a whole mood of everything is for Krishna in this household. Everyone is trying to cultivate their Krishna consciousness and trying to help each other to cultivate. The wife tries to help the husband to be Krishna conscious. The husband tries to help the wife to be Krishna conscious. And they work together as a team, husband and wife, to make the children Krishna conscious. It becomes a really wonderful experience, actually, a transcendental experience, to actually create an ideal household, grihastha ashram, in your home. If you make the endeavor, even if you're not successful perfectly, the endeavor is what counts. That sincere endeavor to create a purely Krishna conscious atmosphere in your home will be rewarded very greatly by Guru and by Krishna. When they see your sincerity, that this person is sincerely trying it. He really is. He's 24 hours a day trying to manifest in his home life an atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. So what does Krishna do when he sees such a person, a householder who's trying to create a Krishna conscious atmosphere in his home? Tesham satat yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam apiyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So if you make that sincere endeavor to make your household life Krishna conscious, Krishna will give you, from within the heart, he will give you guidance on how to live your life in such a way, how to preach to your wife in such a way, how to assist and serve your wife in such a way, and your children in such a way that the whole family become very ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. All it takes is sincerity, Prabhu. And then Krishna from within your heart will tell you whatever you need to know. He'll give you all guidance through books, through other devotees, through your spiritual master. From within the heart is the super soul. He'll give you everything you need to know how to make your life, your householder life, a blissful, ecstatic, transcendental experience. We want ideal householders in this movement who can show the whole world by their example how to make Krishna the center of the household life. Most of this planet, people are householders. How many brahmacharis are there on this planet? It's a very rare breed. Sannyasis and brahmacharis are very, very rare, you see. The general population, they're grihastha. So we want to have ideal grihasthas who can inspire the grihastha, the married people all over the world, how wonderful it is to make Krishna the center of the home life. This is the greatest preaching. If you can make Krishna the center of your home in a very, very solid way, then it will have a great impact on the whole consciousness of this world. You should have a revolutionary household that inspires the whole world to take up Krishna consciousness. That's how you should think and live your household life. If one is in that mood of offering whatever money I earn for Krishna, in the service of Krishna, spending every cent in a Krishna conscious way, whether I donate it to the temple or I spend it directly on my own household, in either case, every penny should be spent in a Krishna conscious way. Because then that work, that time you spend working at your job, now it's dovetailed with Krishna. Now you're connected, you're actually practically, scientifically connected with Krishna. If you're careful to spend every penny in a Krishna conscious way, now you're actually connected with what Bhaktivedanta Thakur said, I'm working for Krishna's household. It becomes devotional service. Even going to work becomes devotional service if the money is not spent on sense gratification. And when you engage in devotional service, then the whole world becomes different for you. Yamang pashati sarvatra sarvangcha mayi pashati tashahang na pranashami satchapi na pranashati. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text number 30. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So all you have to do is offer your household life in Krishna's service. Krishna, this is yours, it belongs to you. And now let me, please bless me with the guidance, the understanding of how to perfectly dovetail my household life in your service. All you have to do is ask Krishna. Do you think he'll say, no, I don't want to do that? You just beg him, my dear Krishna, I am a married man, I have wife, I have kids, I have job. It's difficult for me, my Lord, to remember you and just feel I'm connected with your service 24/7. But I'm begging you, my dear, all-merciful Supreme Lord, please guide me and bless me how I can actually do this. I want to be your pure devotee. I want to be always in this way. If you pray to Krishna with sincerity, he will definitely reward you and bless you. And you'll become solidly fixed in that pathway, that example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Prabhupada's also an example. There are so many great householders in our movement. Prabhupada has given that list, the 12 Mahajanas. You ever counted the difference? The majority are householders. The majority of the 12 Mahajanas are householders, not sannyasi brahmachari, householders. They are the majority. Prabhupada said like that. The householder, they are majority of the 12 Mahajanas. So you should take encouragement. Now I'm in the ashram that has produced a higher percentage of Mahajanas than the brahmacharis and sannyasis have. So let me actually be in that line of the 12 Mahajanas. Let me be a householder like in the 12 Mahajanas. Householders are, you see. In this way, every householder should become Mahajana. This is our Krishna Ganges movement. Every householder become Mahajana. So I hope that helped a little bit. Any other questions? Listen, thank you for that question. I so much appreciate it. I really, really appreciate your nice question. Any other questions? See why I appreciated it so much? It was the only one. Everybody else is like, no question. But he had a question. So I really, really appreciate him. That's it. Oh, here's one. Okay. How do we know we're actually progressing? Yes. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo varaktir anyatra chayashatraka eka kalaha prapadnyaman nasya yatasnadashush pushti puchi sarayoyo nagasam. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that devotion, that bhakti or devotion, direct experience of the Lord and detachment from all forms of material sense gratification occur within the heart of a person, occur simultaneously within the heart of a person who is taking up Krishna consciousness, just as satisfaction of the tongue, eradication of hunger and nourishment occur increasingly with each bite from one who is engaged in the process of eating. So, do you eat? Yes, you eat. So, you know what it means to be satisfied when you're eating, don't you? Yes. No one has to tell you, Mataji, your belly is getting filled up now. No, you know your Mataji, your belly is getting filled up. You can experience it. So, just as you can experience nourishment, satisfaction of the tongue, and eradication of hunger by eating, in the same way, in the bhakti process, no one has to tell you, you're making progress. You can feel the difference. If I look back to where I was 40 years ago, it's embarrassing, actually, how I used to be. I mean, if there was a character like me in this temple, we would probably kick him out, you know. Actually, I made so much progress by this system. I was quite a character in the old days. But I've seen, it's just an amazing transformation in my consciousness. And that transformation just continues to manifest more and more and more. As the years go by, it just becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So if you're actually, it will be very obvious to you if you objectively analyze yourself, what was your consciousness before you came to Krishna consciousness and what is it now? You'll see there's a difference. If you just think back of how you were before you became a devotee, what was it like then? You'll see there's a huge difference in your consciousness, in your feelings, your vision, your wisdom. There's such a big, big difference between now and then. And if you continue in this process, that evolution of consciousness will continue manifesting. And the beauty of this process is, the more you advance, the faster you advance. It's like a geometric progression. Arithmetic progression is 1 plus 1 equals 2, 2 plus 1 equals 3, 3 plus 1 equals 4. That's called arithmetic progression. It's very slow. But geometric progression is 2 times 2 equals 4, 4 times 4 equals 16, 16 times 16 equals, you get the idea. Krishna consciousness, when you really take it seriously, you end up with a geometric progression. It's very, very dynamic when you seriously take up this pathway with all seriousness that I want pure devotional service. Krishna, please give it to me. Please, Krishna, bestow pure prema bhakti upon me. I don't want any more sense gratification, my Lord. I just want pure Krishna prema. You'll be amazed at how fast you evolve if you're praying like that. You'll be very amazed. You'll feel the difference. No one has to tell you anything. If you're not experiencing anything now, that means you're not chanting properly, you see. If you're not tasting the nectar, there's something wrong with your chanting. There's namaparads covering up the nectar, you see. But if you actually can seriously go after those namaparads to eliminate them completely from your chanting, you'll be amazed at how you advance in Krishna consciousness. You'll feel the difference. Does that help a little bit? Okay. Do you have a question?
Not a question. I was just thinking the more obvious thing will be, the more obvious thing we will know how much we are progressing is by how much we are becoming detached.
How much what? Yes. That's stated in the verse I quoted. Bhakti pareshanu bhava varaktir. Varaktir means giving up material sense gratification. So that's an easy way to see. How much are you now free from sense gratification? Does your mind still think about sex? Does your mind try to meditate on sex pleasure? You see? Well, it means I'm not very advanced. I chant Hare Krishna and I think about some guy or some girl, you see. And I'm not very advanced. But if the thought of sex becomes disgusting, like, ugh, you see, then I know I'm advancing, you see. Like Rajamanacharya, we had that class 2 days ago. He took chum. It's the thought of sex is simply spitted, you see, some disgusting, nasty thing, you see. If I'm becoming more and more detached from material sense enjoyment, then I know I'm advancing. I'm not so attracted now as I was, you see. This thing, that thing. I can see how the attraction in my heart from objects of sense enjoyment is fading out. It's like turning down the volume on the sense gratification. It's like on your stereo set, you can turn down the volume and gradually fade it out. So the desires for sex pleasure, for tongue pleasure, for ego pleasure, all these pleasures is just going down, they're fading out, and then Krishna bhakti is increasing, you see. I'm becoming more and more attracted to Krishna's name. That's another tip. The name of Krishna is becoming more and more attractive to me. The beautiful form of Krishna is becoming more and more and more attractive to me. The process of bhakti is becoming more and more attractive. The books of Srila Prabhupada, as these things become more and more attractive to me, and the sense gratification becomes more and more disgusting, you see, then I'm making advancement. So, every one of us, we can make a show of being advanced, but when you lay down to sleep at night, what do you think about? Think about sex pleasure? Or do you think about devotional service, you see? You think about Krishna. Everyone can test their own consciousness. When you lay down to go to bed at night, what are you thinking about? After a hard day's endeavor, now you lay down to go to sleep. What is your mind gravitating towards? You can see how advanced or not advanced you are. Everyone has to learn how to measure their own spiritual advancement. Because ultimately, it's up to you. It's up to each and every one of us to monitor our own progress. It's up to each and every one of us to see, the more you become expert at monitoring your own level of Krishna consciousness, well, I'm not very Krishna conscious today. If you should be able to see that yourself without having somebody else have to tell you, Prabhu, I think you're in Maya. We should be able to see it in our own heart. Is it? So we can do something about it. I'm not very Krishna conscious. I got to do something about it. I'm lusty. I'm angry. I'm greedy. I'm illusioned. I'm envious. We have to be able to see if we're having difficulties so we can do something about it. We should be very, very honest with ourselves to see what is our position in Krishna consciousness. So we can act accordingly to adjust things to help us get over whatever difficulties may be going on down there in the heart, you see. So anything else? Okay, we'll stop here. We thank you very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Please make your life successful in this way by fully dovetailing your consciousness in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.